common sense commentary on politics, culture, and current events. If it's on your mind, it's In the News. And now, In the News, with your host, Mike Dakak.
You know, part of this whole thing we've been talking about over the last year or so is how the mainstream media really does not tell us the truth about anything. And it's really one thing when we talk about it amongst ourselves, right? You get labeled a conspiracy theorist or whatever. But it's another thing entirely when you hear someone at the networks on the inside talk about it themselves, to hear them admit it. And, you know, I've been saying for a long time now that the people who are going to carry the day now are the people, the whistleblowers, the people who are going to come forth and be brave and tell us what's really going on within these institutions. This person, I'm going to play a bunch of clips for you today. And this person is not a whistleblower. I mean, he's a whistleblower, but an unwitting whistleblower. He got caught in undercover videos. Project Veritas has been releasing videos all week showing a CNN executive telling us basically the truth. And the truth is exactly what we've been saying. They're lying to us. They're doing it for ratings, and they know they're doing it. I mean, what this person doesn't know, though, he thinks they're doing it for ratings, which equals money, of course, and that's true. That's definitely part of the equation, but it's not the sole goal. It's not the ultimate goal. The ultimate goal is the destruction of the country, the tearing apart of the country, either through civil war or by weakening it enough that it makes it ripe for foreign invasion. And that's what they're after. The other stuff are the details, the money, the ratings, this, that. That's how they go about achieving their goal. I mean, that's why they use race, for example, racial justice, because it has to be something with which there's some truth in. It can't just be like, oh, you know, the unicorns are coming to get us. It has to be something that has an element of truth so that just enough people can get passionate about it and the other half of the people can be impassioned against it. It's kind of like sports books, for example. If you're familiar with sports books and how they work, the way sports books work, for those who don't know, is that they create odds. You look at the odds for a football game, for example. Let's say a sports book releases odds that says the Cowboys are going to beat the Giants on Sunday by a touchdown. Well, how do they create those odds? They create those odds. They make it work so that half the people bet with the odds and the other half bets against them. I mean, they could just say, well, you know, the Cowboys are going to beat the Giants, but maybe the Cowboys are really, really good and the Giants are really, really bad. And so everybody's going to take that bet. And if everybody takes that bet, and chances are the Cowboys win, and if the Cowboys win, well, then the bookie is out of money. So this way, they say the Cowboys are going to win by more than a touchdown, so that half the people bet that the Cowboys are going to win by more than a touchdown, and the other half bet that either the Giants are going to win or the Cowboys are going to win, but by less than a touchdown. This way, the bookie is perfectly hedged. They make all the money, and you lose. Well, obviously, not everybody loses in that case because some of the people are going to win depending on the results of the game. But the goal is for the bookie to maximize profits. Well, the globalists, there's a very similar phenomenon happening with them too. When they come out with an issue that they harp on, that they beat us over the head with on a daily basis, they have to make sure it's an issue that's at least halfway legitimate, that there's ample evidence of it in society that causes half the people to support the issue. Whatever you want to talk about, racial justice, climate change, taxes, unemployment, the economy, what have you, it all fits into the box. Half the people support it, the other half are against it. The goal is to fracture society right down the middle. They're bookies, the globalists. But whereas when bookies win, you lose money, when the globalists win, you lose your country. You lose your freedom. You lose your way of life. Well, so this CNN guy, he's a technical director by the name of Charlie Chester, I believe his name is. And Project Veritas got a bunch of undercover videos with him talking to an undercover Project Veritas journalist. And so he's an unwitting whistleblower, but he's come out and he's basically explained to us how everything works at CNN. And it's just as bad as you thought it would be. A technical director in a television and or film kind of ties together all the features of a broadcast. So scenery, the set, guests, who the guests are, where they sit, et cetera, et cetera. And so this person's a technical director. He's one step below the director. And so he's conned by one of the Project Veritas people. And Project Veritas, of course, if you're not familiar, is a conservative media watchdog group. And he's sitting at various restaurants talking with an undercover reporter. And he's telling her that basically CNN's main goal, for example, I have a bunch of clips here I'm going to play for you, over the last several years was seeing Donald Trump defeated in the 2020 election. And I'm going to play these for you so you can hear what he has to say for yourselves.
Tape. Look what we did. We got Trump back. I am 100% going to say it. And I 100% believe it, that if it wasn't for CNN, I don't know that Trump would have gotten voted out. I really don't think so.
Oh, really? I think if COVID hadn't happened, it wouldn't have mattered what covered, and Trump would still be in office.
I
came to CNN because I wanted to be a part of that. We got Trump out. Isn't that awesome? He goes on to talk about how they basically created stories that had a negative slant against Donald Trump, like health issues, for example. Listen to this.
Yeah, I mean, like Trump, we did it. Like when Trump his hand was shaking or whatever like that. We brought in like so many medical people to like all tell a story that like it was all speculation that he was like neurological damage, like that he was losing it, he's unfit to, you know, whatever. We were creating a story there that we didn't know anything about, you know. I think that's propaganda, you know. We had nothing else to run with at that time. We were like just taking shots off the bow, just hoping something hit, you know.
We were just taking shots off the bow, hoping something would hit. That was their job. It was to bombard the zone with negative information. And then for people that they want to prop up, their job is to bombard the zone with positive information. Listen to what he says about Biden and Biden's running, breaking out into a light jog whenever he was at a campaign stop all throughout last year.
I have a confession. I worry about Biden and his health, I guess.
Your news health?
What? I said Biden, our president. Like, I just want to, like, take care of him and make sure he's okay. Like,
he's definitely... The whole thing of him running during the entire run for the campaign, showing him jogging, was obviously a deflection of his age, and they're trying to make him like unhealthy.
Is that what we did? I don't know. Like, what do you mean?
We would always show shots of him jogging.
Yeah.
And that I'm healthy, you know, blah, blah, blah. And him in aviator shades, and like you paint him as a young geriatric. I like so many arguments about like my dad be like, you're you're voting in Kamala Harris because he's gonna die in the presidency, and I'm like, that's gonna die.
Right, I don't think he's gonna
die. I'm okay with that.
Right.
I'm okay with that. I think she could
be a bitch.
She'd
probably be better, but...
She probably could be a bitch in, like, a board meeting.
Yeah.
And you'd hate her as a boss. But she's real and better than what we've had.
Right.
Regardless.
Yeah.
So, Biden, now, a couple of things here. First of all, I don't understand how anyone could possibly believe Kamala Harris is real and authentic. She's the most inauthentic person on Capitol Hill, and that, my friends, is saying something. But did you notice what he said there? The whole thing about Biden running and we're trying to show him as young and vibrant or whatever. Now think about that for a moment. CNN is powerful, but they can't call up the campaign and say, hey, Biden, break out into a sprint at this campaign stop. They're working together. What can happen is that an executive at CNN can call up a campaign manager at Joe Biden headquarters and say, hey, you know, we think it'd be really great if Biden looked a little bit more young and vibrant. You got any ideas? And the campaign manager will say, well, you know, he's about to take a flight out to Iowa today. We'll make sure he runs up to, oh, terrific. We'll get that on tape. They're working together. And if you have any doubts still, listen to what this person says about COVID. The way they've covered COVID, the nonstop bombardment with that story, now it's going to turn into a nonstop bombardment with climate change. Listen to this.
I think there's just like a COVID fatigue. So like whenever a new story comes up, they're going to latch onto it. They've already announced inner office that once the public will be open to it, we're going to start focusing mainly on climate, climate, like global warming, and like that's going to be our next like it's going to be our focus. Like our focus was to get Trump out of office, right? Without saying it, that's what it was, right? So our next thing is going to be for climate change awareness.
What does that look like?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I have a feeling it's just going to be like constantly showing videos of like decline and ice and weather warming up and like the effects it's having on the economy and really
talking about that.
Head of the network, like just
who's that? Is that Zucker?
Yeah, I imagine that he's got his council and they've all like discussed like where they think.
So that's like the next
pandemic, like story, like that will beat to death. But that one's got longevity. You know what I mean? It's not like there's a definitive ending to the pandemic, or you know, like. It'll taper off to a point that it's, you know, not a problem anymore. Climate thing is going to take years, so they'll probably be able to milk that for quite a bit. You know? So
we'll probably be able to milk that for quite a bit. He says that's the next major thing is going to be climate change. Again, the major headline is climate change is going to be the next big thing, the next big hoax, I guess you can call it, that they're going to hit us over the head with. But listen again to the smaller headlines made there. We'll probably be able to milk that for quite... Why are they trying to milk anything? And milk to what end? I mean, do y'all get it now? My friends on the left were vastly underestimating the forces that are arrayed against us and how integrated all of these different aspects of it are and what their goals are, of course. Their goals are not higher tax rates or solar panels on every roof. It's the destruction of the country. Now, they'll try and deflect and say it's about ratings or money or whatever, but it's not just about that. It's about social engineering. We're being socially engineered. He says at the end of that video that fear sells. And that's a theme that he picks up on in the next video that Project Veritas released when he talks more about COVID. CNN has been milking, to use his word, COVID to exploit the fear in people when it comes to the disease.
It's fear. Like, fear really drives numbers. It does, you know? The happiest days in news, people, I would imagine, turn it off and they go with the camera. They don't stay glued to it. Unless there's something that's uniting them, like the moon landing or something like that. Fear is the thing that keeps you tuned in, I imagine. What's the scariest thing next? You know?
It's the fear that keeps them glued. Otherwise, they would go spend time with their families. We couldn't possibly have that, right? The horror. People would actually become closer with their families. The first thing, as we've been saying for months and months, the first thing globalists do is separate people from their families. They make them untrusting of the people around them, of their neighbors, of their friends, of their coworkers. You can only trust in what you're hearing on the television. People who are separated from their families and from their surroundings are unmoored. And so then it's easier to manipulate them however you see fit. So we couldn't possibly have people spending time with their families. And the fear is the way they keep that going. Listen to this clip.
You know, sad news doesn't do well with ratings. You know, like, if you can get someone in passion, that does really well with ratings. Sad news back to back to back doesn't do really well unless it affects them directly. COVID, gangbusters with Raiders, right? Which is why we constantly have the death toll on the side, which I have a major problem with, that we're tallying how many people die every day. Because I've even looked at it and be like, let's make it higher. Like, why isn't it high enough, you know, today? Like, it would make our point better if it was higher. And I'm like, what am I rallying for? That's a problem.
Yeah.
That we're doing that, you know? Like,
well, I mean, it helps with ratings.
Of course, yeah, but, yeah, I would expect. I have a job. Sure. Like, I'm happy about that, but, yeah, I don't know.
Who gets to, like, decide how long that stays on, or, like...
Head of the network. I've been in the room many a times where my director tells me, take it down. And I take it down, and then we get a phone call, like, the bat phone, like, rings in the back. Literally a red phone. Like, the special red phone ring.
Yeah.
And they pick it up, and this producer picks it up. And you're like, mop, 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 mop. And every so often they put it on speaker, and it's like the head of the network being like, there's nothing that you're doing right now that makes me want to stick. Put the numbers back up, because that's the most enticing thing that we have. So put it back up. So, like, things like that are constantly talked about.
COVID is gangbusters with the ratings. Are you kidding? We've never had it so good. But people aren't being scared enough, so you have to keep those numbers up until I tell you to take them down. And oh, by the way, apparently I'm never going to tell you to take them down. Again, did you get the minute it comes down, the phone rings. The minute it comes down, the phone rings, and they're told to put the numbers back up. So they're sitting there making sure that the numbers are constantly up. And people are being scared 24 hours a day. What do you call that, folks? You call that being on a mission. Remember last year when I asked rhetorically how different things would be if CNN, instead of the death toll numbers, put up the survival rate of COVID? Imagine every time you turned on CNN and the host there would be like, well, you know, here the headline news this morning is that the COVID survival rate is unchanged at 99.9%. How different the narrative would be? Well, Mr. Chester addresses that too.
But why don't you guys at CNN show the recovery rates on the death tolls, at least?
The recovery rates? Oh, who's had it and then...
Recovered.
Because that's not scary. I would imagine that's why they don't do it. Yeah.
That's what I figured.
If it bleeds, it leads. Yeah.
If it bleeds, it leads.
Yeah.
I like that.
Uh-huh. I think no one ever says those things out loud, but it's obvious based on, like, the amount of stories that we do. Like, the fact that we have a segment called The Good Stuff, which is a feel-good thing, but it's a dedicated moment at the end to, like, almost like be the ice cream to alleviate, you know, like, everything that you've been through, like, you know, like something sweet to end it with. Because everything else is like duplicate.
Because it's not scary. That's why they don't show you the truth. That's why they don't show you the recovery rates. It's not scary enough. Remember also how I've been telling you for weeks, do not watch mainstream news. Seek out independent news sources. Or if you're going to watch mainstream news, understand that you're being lied to. Seek out independent news. And it doesn't have to be me, so I don't get accused of being self-serving. But seek out independent news sources to get your news from. Well, Chester has some thoughts on that as well.
I mean, there's no such thing as unbiased news. There's too many agendas. There's too many people that have jobs that need to feed their families for it to be unbiased. You can't. It's impossible. Of course, the most unbiased news is grassroots, out of people's basements with podcasts. That's the most unbiased you probably get. You know?
Seek out people in their basements, folks. That's how you're going to find out what's really going on. Because even the guests on CNN are not really guests. They're supporting actors and actresses, as it were.
Think CNN's done that?
Yeah. I don't think CNN's any different than Fox. I think it's on the different side of it, but I don't... I think they come off as very altruistic, but I think we buried the lead a lot. I think we... You ever watch... We have to sit down and watch it together for me to like point out some things. Listen to the way they ask questions. Because they're not actually asking questions. Any reporter on CNN.
Okay.
What they're actually doing is they're telling the person what to say. It's an art form in it. There's an art form to it. But it would be like the accident that you just saw, right? Like one of the reporters would be like, so that, you know, that man clearly went through the intersection slamming into this car or whatever it was. And it really is unfortunate that, you know, our infrastructure of traffic lights and whatnot is falling apart in the city. How do you feel about the traffic lights and the infrastructure and whatnot? We've led them to talk about how we want them to talk about it. It's always like leading them in a direction before they even open their mouth. And the only people that we let on the air, for the most part, are people that have a proven track record of taking the bait.
The only people we let on the air are people who have a proven track record of taking the bait. People who follow the script, in other words, and do what they're told. Now, I'm not going to play any more of the clips because I think you've gotten the message with all this, but the overarching point is that every conspiracy theory is correct. That's why they've been banning the people who have been saying this stuff. I mean, you can't get people thinking for themselves, right? You have to shut that down right away. And so this is something that needs to be shared far and wide. And I actually think this is going to be one of those things where it's not going to be fully appreciated the first time you hear it. But after a few weeks, the more you think about it, the more you're going to understand the gravity of it, because it's in their own words. It's not anyone else's. And now, as you're watching the news now, you're going to watch with an eye that's just slightly more critical than it was before, slightly more alert, slightly more awake. And you're going to pay just slightly more attention to that channel that's being censored, or that content creator that's being banned, or that independent news channel that's coming from a person's basement. And that's all good for us, and it's bad for them. I mean, you know, this is a precarious time, like I was just telling someone that I know. But have faith, folks, because it's happening. The awakening is upon us. And it's not something that's going to happen overnight. It's going to take several more months, but we've been set on the course, and I'm not sure there's a whole lot that can be done to stop it any longer. Well, that's our show for today. Hope you enjoyed it. If you have any comments on any of the issues we discussed today, drop me a line. You can reach me at comments@itnshow.com. That's comments@itnshow.com. Thanks again for listening, everyone. Until next time, take care of yourselves and each other.
If it's on your mind, it's in the news. Subscribe to In the News on both iTunes and on Stitcher Radio. This has been In the News.